All right, guys. Tonight, one of my all-time favorites. I'll tell you what. I am. What'd you say, Kevin? After you? I have to live with this guy. So after Kevin. After Kevin, he's my. But the thing I really, really appreciate about Mr. Doty is I personally am always super encouraged when I hear him. You know, the journey is long. It's not, you get into Christ, you're dumped, and it's piece of cake from here on out, and you're just coasting in. There's a struggle, there's a fight. And I personally am a guy who is in need of encouragement. You know, I'm thankful for the Scriptures because they provide encouragement and perseverance. And I am always really, really encouraged personally when Steve speaks. And, you know, there's a gallon Bible study with today. And just getting to the why of immersion. And this gal's been through a bunch. But, man, I saw it in her the first time I met with her. She wants a new life. And I was hoping that she could make it tonight because that's something I love about Steve, and he communicates it so well. You see in him a passion, a desire. He wanted a new life, man, and he's, by the grace of God, with the help of the Spirit, he's living that new life, and he's always encouraging us to do the same. So welcome tonight, Mr. Steve Doty.
Clip on. Man, this place is a lot bigger. I walked in and looked up this way. I thought, man, that's a long way up to the front. You're growing. Yeah, that's a good thing. You know, it's a pleasure to be here. I always look forward to coming to Billings. And Luke texted me the other day, asked me if I'd stop on by, and told him I'd think about it. But so, yeah, it's good to be here. Good to see all of you. Sue will be going to the ladies' meeting. And we also brought a gal with us. She was a contact that we had in Vietnam, and she had time left on a visa from last fall when we had her here helping us with a project. So she was interested, wants to know more about spiritual things. So we brought thee with us. So some of you ladies that will be up to the meeting will get a chance to meet thee. She's a good girl. We're hoping that she'll continue to come along, get her eyes open to the truth. So, saying all that, I saw John walk in here. Where'd you go, John? There you are. Did you bring your wife with you? I kind of thought she probably might have to. She works a lot. I'll tell you what. We had a great time in Kosovo on our medical mission trip that Denya Jacobs and Nikki Morancic volunteered to go on with us, go on this project and provide training in Kosovo for people with pressure ulcers, those bed sores. We were asked to do that by a group in Kosovo, Handy Costs. It's an organization for paralyzed people. They said they got a lot of folks dying, you know, from those sores. And that's a big problem. That's a big problem here. My understanding, you know, that's what killed Superman. You know, I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, Christopher Reeves, whatever. That's what got him finally, was them sores, you know. So anyway, they asked if we could come over, bring somebody that could help with that, and Nikki and Denya volunteered to do that. And boy, I'll tell you what, they hit the mark. They made a big impact. And the people even said over there that even if there was something, you know, with those things, there's no magic cure for that kind of thing. They said, but you know, the fact that you cared to come over here to do that meant even more than what could actually be done as far as prevention or treatment of those pressure sores. So just the fact that they went over there to help the people, it made a big impact. Now, the girls did training for 2 days in like a classroom setting. That program or presentations they put together, they put all that material down and then taught it. Each group or each day had about 25 to 30 people in the group. Some were in wheelchairs, you know, some were people that were paralyzed, and some were doctors or nurses, and some were just caregivers. And we had 2 days doing that, and then a day of the home visits. Now, we went to 3 different homes to see the situation in the home, and they're all sad, really, as you would imagine. You know, the suffering in this world sometimes is just really hard to look at. But you know what? We have to do that. We have to look at it. We don't want to turn our face from it. We want to understand it. I'm going to pound home something, I hope, tonight. We need to get it. Really, we need to get this through our heads. The light is greater than the darkness in this world. The darkness is dark, and you don't need any help seeing it. It's thick. According to 1 John 5, the whole world lies under the sway or the influence of the wicked one. And we can see the darkness. We see it in the violence. We see it in the sickness, death, disease, the human suffering, the despair, the hopelessness, depression, suicide. Even people that try to act like they're doing okay, they are not doing okay. They are created beings, whether they know it or not, fearfully and wonderfully made, made in the image of God. And if they're separated from God, you can't possibly be truly happy. It ain't happening. And it drives us. People that are separated from God by their sin, again, whether they know it or not, are constantly squirming around or searching to find some relief. It's like an itch they can't scratch. So they're constantly trying to find some way to feel better. I know what I need. I need a different spouse, or I need another job, or I need to move to Arizona. You know, something. You know, they've always got something that they're trying to do to find peace. The first home we went in, a woman was in there. She had been shot during the war, shot in the back. She was paralyzed from the waist down. But man, she was a fighter. She was a fighter. She wasn't going to let that disability, as difficult as it was for her where she lives, there's not a lot of ADA, you know, or KDA, Kosovars with Disabilities Act. They don't have, you know, their ramps are not good ramps. They like that. They'll kill you if you tried to go down them on the wheelchair. You know, you got to build a wheelchair ramp according to a standard, you know. They're just trying to do the best they can with what they got. So her life is difficult. She's got them sores, but she's doing a pretty good job of treating it according to the girls, the ladies, Denny and Nikki, that, you know, that were dealing with that with her. She's a fighter. This gal, I think, you know, she is not going to let that get her down. Good for her. Good for her. Now, you know that in Kosovo, these folks are basically moderate Muslims, okay? There's not much Christianity there, but really Islam is not, you know, it's not radical. You know what I'm saying? Most of the people don't even go to the mosque. I think I told you all one time, I was with Jabba Durocco there, and we were walking past a mosque, and this thing took off. I go, man, Jabba, what are they saying? He goes, I don't know, Mr. Steve, it's Arabic. He didn't even know what they were saying. They weren't all running to the mosque. So, they love Americans, though. They really do love Americans there. And so what we're trying to do is, you know, show ourselves friendly and to be Christ to this generation. You know, I believe we have command and example to go, you know, and to give that cup of cool water maybe in the name of a disciple. Do a little of something, you know. So, this lady really appreciated us coming and spending some time with her. Went on to the next one. It was sad. Young girl, maybe 25 years old. A lot of the homes were destroyed during the war. So they're building them back up and they're trying to do it as they go. So a lot of them are unfinished in real important areas like railings. So these houses go up. They got in their culture, you know, like if the boy gets married, the girl comes and lives with him and his parents, you know. And they go up a floor, you know, and then they go, if you got another son, well, you go up another floor. Some of those houses go up three or four floors, you know. And so they're half done. And in this case, on the second level, had an outside kind of balcony porch area, but they didn't have the railings on. This young gal went out to hang the laundry up, and she was clipping clothes on the clothesline, and she backed up and backed right off the second story, fell and hit a retaining wall and snapped her back. 25 years old. So she's got these sores, you know, and we were in the house there. And the parents, you can tell, this happened like 3 years ago. And they were crying, just telling the story. I mean, they just are, you know, emotional. They loved this girl. She was a precious to them. And now she's paralyzed, you know, from that terrible fall. It's just sad, you know what I mean? To see that, you feel for them, but you could tell she's loved. Her mother attends to her diligently, because that's what it takes if you're going to prevent them things. Diligence. I mean, it's like, you know what? You got to move, man. It reminded me of us, spiritually speaking. You know, if you don't move, you're going to die. You know what I mean? We got to get up. We've got to do something. Now, people can help a little bit, but you got to be able to do something for yourself. And that's one of the things that they teach them, how they can get that pressure off. You know, get this way for a while. Get this way. Do something. So you don't get these sores. Now, the last one really was difficult. It kind of really stuck with all of us. It stuck with me. I got this gal on my mind. It's just kind of hard to shake that image that I have. Now, Handy Cost was taking us around to these different houses, and so they took us to this poor area. Really, it's all kind of poor. This is really poor. This is where the gypsies live. Now, people don't generally like gypsies. Some don't even know where they ever even come from. I talked to some guy there, and I think he said he used to live with gypsies. He said he had a lot of gypsy friends. He said they're actually from India, some mountainous area. Anyway, they have their own culture. They have their own language. But they're known, and right or wrong, I don't know, whether they're thieves and they're liars. Generally, people don't like gypsies coming around their area. But Handy Cross was going into this area because there was a girl. She was paralyzed. So we went to this old broken down kind of house. No running water in there. It was dark in there. And here this girl in her 20s, early 20s, sitting in the shadows. I remember she had a pretty face. And she had a twisted body sitting in this chair, broken down, old looking wheelchair, and just sitting there. And it was dark. And as we were sitting in there, I was kind of like sitting on this couch watching these bugs go right up the walls. And the dad was kind of sitting to my left, and she was sitting to my right. And he's telling the story about how she got paralyzed. He said, we used to live over in the tall buildings, you know, like big tall apartment looking things, at five or six stories high. So we were on the fifth floor, and his daughter here decided to wash the windows. And she was straddling the window ledge and hanging out the window, washing it on the outside. And while he's telling this story, I'm looking at him. And I look at her, and she was just staring at him. No expression, no emotion. he's going on with this story of how tragic it was. She's out here I'm thinking she's washing windows. I'm looking around this place I'm sitting, and I'm thinking, you mean to tell me somebody cared about washing the windows? That's his story, and he was sticking to it. So he's telling this story, and he said some kids were outside, and they yelled up at her. She looked, got distracted, and fell out the window 5 floors. So I was looking at her, and she's just staring at him. No expression. And I'm thinking, this is weird. He said, what she needs is an electric wheelchair. And the Albanian nurse that was with us looked at him and says, no, she does not. She needs her arms. She needs to be able to build her strength. And so we're looking at this situation. The nurses, Nikki and Denya, were going to examine this girl, so I left. The father went out also. We went and talked to the neighbor. And I went out and talked to the driver of the bus. And after a while, the girls came out. Jamie was just about in tears. And, I mean, it was bad. But then I found out the rest of the story. The Albanian nurse told them what really happened. This girl was sexually assaulted by a relative. And the Albanian nurse believed it was the father. So she threw herself out the window to commit suicide and didn't die in the process. And I'm just thinking, I'm sick to my stomach. The darkness just flooded in. If it wasn't bad enough going in there, and to see the actual darkness and the bugs and the filth, and to think of this human being, this gypsy, people don't like gypsies. God likes gypsies. God loves gypsies. And there she sits, and this guy has got the nerve to sit there and spin this yarn with all his emotion. Yeah, he'd like a wheelchair for her, all right, an electric one, maybe around $25,000 so he could take it and sell it and buy him a color TV set and a car, maybe. It's sickening. The darkness is thick. What could we do? As we drove away, with this on our mind, I'm absolutely convinced, as I know most of you are, because I know the kind of teaching and I've been in your fellowships, we've got a message for this world, but it is not going to be a message that we just go walking in with a coat and a tie and a leather-bound Bible and telling people Jesus loves them. And it's going to make all that darkness just disappear right off the radar screen or right out of people's lives. That is not going to happen. That's not how this works. I've already said the darkness, you don't need no help in trying to see that. A blind man can see the darkness. No pun intended. I'm talking about it so thick you can feel it. It's evil. But the light that came into this world 2,000 years ago, as Jesus himself said that he was a light that came into this world, that men need no longer abide in the darkness. That light that came into this world, that light to set people free, that light to give people hope and purpose in life and strength to rise up above any circumstances they might find themselves in, that has to be unpackaged. And we are the ones to unpackage it. It has to be understood. They have to be taught. But they have to first see it in us, those who would deliver such a package. It's got to be in our lives first. If we're walking around dragging our faces in the dirt most of the time and moaning and groaning about everything that, you know, that woe is me that come upon us, how in the world are we ever going to talk to somebody who's really got problems? I don't know, it seems here. No, don't get me wrong. You know, when I talk about the gypsy girl, I don't think you have to go very far right here in Billings, Montana to walk into exactly the same kind of environment and find the exact same kind of abuse and sorry situations. It's all over the place. It's in America. It's everywhere. It's over there. I use that just to illustrate the fact that she is a human being also, created in the image of God, suffered that abuse, and just sits there. Jamie was remarking about how dark her eyes were. She's a pretty girl, but those eyes were empty. No expression. I talked with them and the girls and said, you know, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get with that Albanian nurse. We won't let the parents know that we have interest in the gypsy girl. Because if they knew that, dollar signs, I'm sure, would just pop in their head. But I said, we'll get a hold of Kemet, that's the Albanian nurse, and have her talk to her. We want to understand her state of mind. I want to know, does she want to live or does she just want to die? Those sores will kill her. I think she don't care. I think she looks young. Yearns for death, probably. She had no emotion about it, don't seem to. They don't love her. You could tell that. I told you about the other girl that backed off and fell off the balcony and broke her back. Man, her parents love her. These people they showed nothing for her. The mother was sitting on the floor, almost at my feet, just staring at me. She was kind of strange. But nobody seemed to be caring about the girl. So we'll find out. We'll have the Albanian nurse talk to her. I talked to my friend Benny that lives in Battle Creek, Michigan. Benny immigrated from Kosovo because I talked to him about it. He said, well, you can get her out of there if she wants to go. He said, we'll get a court order. He said, there's a place she can go. So if she wants help, we'll see what we can do about getting the gypsy girl moved and get her into a place where people actually will care for her. And hopefully that might begin the long process. You know, when the Lord first sent the apostles out, you remember that in Matthew chapter 10, when he sent them out, he said, look, I want you to go and preach. Go and say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want you to heal sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely as you have received, freely give. He said, don't provide any gold or silver or copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics or sandals or staffs, for the workers worthy of this food. He goes and sends them out and says, just leave all your trash behind and get up and go. But when you look at what he says to them at the end of his earthly ministry, he says in verse 35, Luke 22 and 35, when I sent you without a money bag, knapsack, sandals, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. Then he said, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it. Likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. Quote, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For the things he says concerning me have an end, but it's a beginning for us. He said, do you lack anything when I sent you out? Nope. Good. This time, pack your trash. We're going to do this the old-fashioned way, just like Jericho when they took the land. First objective in taking the land, God says, look, watch this. I want you to walk around this city. I want you to toot your trumpets. Toot-toot. And then I want you to do that 6 days. On the seventh day, I want you to go around seven times, toot the trumpets, give a shout, walls will fall down. So they did, and it did. He said, but now, build the siege ramps. I'm still with you. You're still going to do it. You're just going to do it the old-fashioned way. You're going to have to put some time into it. You're going to have to extend ourselves into this work. I cannot stand the thought of just walking out of a place and leaving some girl sitting there hopelessly on her way to hell, some outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not and the fires never quench. I just will not accept that fact that has to be that way for her. Because it does not, because that light that came into this world came into this world for people like the gypsy girl. So, you know, it is not just for people that got it all together somehow, that have enough money or have their needs met or have their health. This gospel that is to empower people to arise above the darkness in this world is for people just like her and even worse. But it's got to be understood. It's got to be taught. It's got to be unpackaged. by those who know. God will use us. He'll send us into the world. Been commanded to go. And that doesn't necessarily mean internationally. I mean, again, I mean, just, you know, most of this for us starts just, the journey begins in our mind, you know. It's through the transformation and renewing of the mind that we are able to take this information in, this message of light, the gospel of the glory of Christ, through His image of God, that it may shine. First, it's got to shine in our own lives. If it ain't shining there, how's it going to shine anywhere else? It starts with us first. The manifest light is shining. It isn't going to take much as we engage in other people's lives, invest ourselves in their eternity, get into their space a little bit. Not by trying to jam this book down their throat, but being Christ to them. You know, when I started the Direct Connect Humanitarian Aid 16 years ago, I did it with this in mind. I felt that was the example that God had given us, that Christ went into these places and He acknowledged the people's chief complaint. He acknowledged where they were at. He met their basic needs. He was there to help them, and He taught the people, saying, and that's what we want to do. We want to help the people first, and when they realize, well, you know, that woman, I told you, the first woman we went to that had been shot in the back, she said, you know, everyone's forsaken me, my government's forgotten me, nobody helps me, and you came all the way over here? That's what she said. Man, she really appreciated it. She was just blown away by the whole idea. While the girls were examining these females, you know, I said I went outside. The driver, Ilier, squared away guy, young guy, man, he's like 30. Got him some kids, you know, three kids, a wife. And man, he's a hard worker, man. And he was just, you know, telling me a little bit about his personal philosophy about life. And man, he's a go-getter. And we were out there just kind of talking, and I said, well, Ilier, did you kind of go through some tough times in that war too? Yeah, he said, I was a teenager. He said, my family ended up as refugees in, I don't remember, Macedonia or Montenegro, somewhere. And he said, you know, I can't sleep at night sometimes. I get this reoccurring dream, and it's my little brother. And my little brother is just crying and crying and crying because he's hungry and there's no food, because that actually happened to him in the refugee camps. So he said, but all of a sudden, in the dream, my brother's face turns into my children's face, my kids. He said, I wake up, man. He said, it happens a lot. I don't sleep well. And so I said, you don't have any peace. He said, no, I don't. I said, Ilier, do you know what God does for us, man? God, who created us, man, God opens our minds up. God expands our minds with light and with truth. You know, the things that you suffer, the bad things that happen in your life, man, they're always going to be a part of your life. It's not just going to like disappear. It already happened. But God can open up our minds and put our life into context. And God has a way of being able to introduce the kind of truths and light and hope into our minds that we can see. We begin to rise above those things. We are empowered by God. That's what we're made for, man. We can overcome the darkness in this world. And we can find peace. It's called the peace that passes understanding. Well, about that time, here comes Nikki and Dania and Jamie out of the house. So it's time to get back in the van, man. It was a handicap van. It had a center part that was open for wheelchairs and seats along the side. So we all kind of had our seats down the wall. And Ilier was driving down the road. And all of a sudden, he hollers out, Mr. Steve, I'm still thinking about what you were saying back there. So I went up to the front of the bus, man, and got in the passenger seat and kept right on talking to the guy. Because, man, he was listening. Maybe, I guess, something made sense to him. Now, Lord willing, when I came here tonight, I just came from Bozeman from a meeting with Rock Wheels. I don't know if you guys know Rock Wheels, but they make wheelchairs. They're out of Bozeman. Now, I met them before because they wanted... we were doing some things in Vietnam, and Cliff Renner told this guy, because this guy who runs Rock Wheels, he wanted to build chairs in Vietnam. And so Cliff said, well, I know a guy that goes there, does humanitarian work. So Cliff introduced me to him, I don't remember, 2 or 3 years ago. So as we were going down the road, after I was talking to Ilya there for a while, and he started sharing with me some ideas he had, what he'd like to do, because he fixes the wheelchairs for Handicost. He said, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to build wheelchairs. That was his idea, what he'd like to do. And I was going, well, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. And all of a sudden it dawned on me. I go, hey, I know somebody who builds wheelchairs. Because he needs somebody to show him, you know. In fact, I said, that's where Dennis from, Bozeman, Montana. He said, well, I'd love to go and see how it's done because I want to build wheelchairs for the people here. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to Bozeman. I said, actually, my wife's going to this meeting. I'm going out there. I'll meet with a guy and we'll see, you know, if you can come on over and he'll show you and take you to the factory and da, 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 da. So we met with Wayne is his name. I don't remember his last name, but he's the founder and president of Rock Wheels. He's interested in getting wheelchairs built in Kosovo. He wants Ilya to come here and see the factory here and maybe the one at the South Dakota Penitentiary where the convicts make parts in the South Dakota prison system for the Rock Wheel wheelchairs. So we want to bring Ilya here because I want to spend more time to tell him what I was talking about. The light that came into this world, man, it'll blow your mind. You can rise above the darkness in this world. Empowered. Sing the song, the new creation. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, that we are no longer men of the flesh, no longer born of woman, but born of God. We are divinely made for this. Our minds are made for this thing called faith. And we are strengthened by God's Holy Spirit so that we can overcome the darkness in this world no matter how thick it is or what you've ever suffered in your whole life. We can rise above it. That's what the whole message is all about. You know what? You ain't never going to take that girl, you know, she ain't going to get out of that wheelchair, not miraculously. You know, when Jesus did all those miracles, remember when it says He cleansed the sick, you know, He cleansed the lepers and healed the sick and raised the dead and cast out the demons. He opened the eyes of the blind and opened the ears up of the deaf. Do you realize that all those things just were a parallel of a spiritual deficit that people have? The blindness, the deafness, the uncleanness, the deadness. That's all that is. You know, Jesus said that you'll do greater works than these. How? What would be greater than being able to give sight to blind people or raise people out of a wheelchair? Well, what would be greater than to tell this gypsy girl, rise and walk? Except, you know what? That'd probably be a disaster. What happened in Luke 17 when Jesus healed 10 lepers? There was 10 of them crying out, Lord Jesus, have mercy. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they saw they were cleansed. One turned around, came back, and threw himself down and gave glory to God. And Jesus said, wasn't there 10 cleansed? Where's the 9? I'll tell you where the 9 went. They went to the club, man. They went to the casino. They went to the who knows where. But they didn't go, I'm sure, to the church building or the synagogue or someplace like that. They just went off to go do whatever they were going to do. And that's what would happen if we walked around and raised up people out of all their woe is me's and out of their all that. No. Do you realize that people are made for this, to rise above that, even if their body is broken? I don't know if you've ever Googled that guy, Life Without Limbs. I see some heads bob, and that is, dude was born without arms and legs, man, and he's a motivational speaker. If you can imagine, Google Life Without Limbs and watch this guy. He's up on the stage, man. He has a head and a thorax. I mean, he has no arms and no legs, and there he sits. And he is pumping the people up. They're sitting there just shocked. He said, life's tough, isn't it? He says, and you know what happens in life? He says, sometimes you fall down, right? And here the dude goes, man. He just tips right over. He don't even have no hands to put out there. And he kind of rolls down on his chest. Now he's got his head sticking out there and he's still talking to him. And they're just shocked. He said, what do you do when you fall down? He says, you got to get up, right? And they're all just big eyes, just looking. And he starts twisting his body around, gets his head tucked down under there. Pretty soon, whoop. He stood up, man, with no arms and no legs. There's people, tears running down their face. And I know what they're thinking. Gee whiz, I've been complaining all day long because of whatever. And this guy don't even have no arms and no legs at all. And he's up there pumping me up. Now that's amazing. Now this guy actually gives glory to God. I have no idea what his understanding is. But at least obviously he is God-fearing. Man, that tells us something. You know that? Because if we keep saying, oh God, don't let nothing bad happen to me. That is the wrong prayer to pray. Don't be praying that prayer. But Lord, no matter what I have to go through, give me the strength to deal with it, to rise above it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. That is the prayer we want to pray. We want to pray those prayers about overcoming. Jesus said, if you overcome, like I overcame. He said, in the world, he said, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But that light that has come into the world, Jesus said, that's a truth that will set you free. And the Jews are like, free from what? We're Abraham, see, we've never been bondage to anybody. What you mean we'd be free? He said, you sinning and you're the servants of sin. The servant don't abide in the house forever, but the son do. If the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Talking about free from your old man. Free from your old ways. Free from your fear, your uncertainty, your doubts, your bad attitudes. Free to rise and walk in the newness of life, even if you're in a wheelchair. I told you the first lady we met, I said, man, she's a fighter. She does not let that chair get her down. She don't. She's a very capable woman. She just can't walk. Okay? And she's got these sores. But she's doing a good job dealing with them sores. She ain't going to let them get her down either. What else? You know, what are you going to do if you're in that situation? Well, hopefully do like they do. Stand up. Fight back. Man, we are made for this journey. We need to enjoy the journey. The process of seeking God's face is going to change us. It's going to be through a great trial of affliction. You're going to go through something, man. Just get that. That's the way it's going to be. But we got to help as much as we can. I said with the bed sore thing, one thing I was learning listening to Nikki and Dania, you know, those people need to be turned on a regular basis, or they need to be taught, and if they can, they got to turn themselves. See, to an extent, we need each other. We need some help along the way, but as we become more and more empowered, then we need to just help ourselves. We just can't sit there and expect somebody to come move us all the time. If we can move ourselves, if we have our arms, use our arms. You know what I mean? Do something. And spiritually, that's what we have to do. And as we become stronger, and it's reflected and seen in our lives, through the power of the Holy Spirit, strengthening our inner man. You know, that's what grace is all about. If you look at that definition, not just the unmerited favor one, but I'm talking about the divine influence on the inner man manifested in the life. That's one of the unabridged definitions of grace. It's the Holy Spirit. That divine influence working on that inner man reflected, manifested in their lives. Power, unbelievable power. Power he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Paul said, but according to the power that works in us. Don't turn away from the darkness. Look it right in its ugly face. Do not turn from it. We are greater. The light is greater than the darkness. God would never allow the things that go on in this crazy world if that darkness would prevail. That darkness cannot prevail In the case of the gypsy girl, like I said, we're going to do what we can. I don't know if she wants to live or not, but we're going to try to find out. If she wants help, if she's willing to be moved, we'll see about getting her moved without her parents. She's in her 20s. I guess she's of age to be able to say. We'll go from there. I'm absolutely convinced, you know, as the scripture says, if you ask, you receive. If you seek, you find. If you knock, it's open to you. You know, the asking part is our part. That's our action. But the you receive part, that's from God. He's the one that made the promise. I didn't. If you ask, you receive. You seek, you find. You knock, it's open to you. Because everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, that door is open. Now, that's God's promise. And I absolutely believe that if people do that, because that, you know, the context, in Luke's context anyway, that's where the Holy Spirit, they can receive the Holy. I'm not talking about just say, God, give me the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about that chance to start over. I'm talking about that empowered new life to rise above the darkness in this world, no matter what ails you, whether it's physical or emotionally. You're a wreck, a mess. We can all rise and walk in the newness of life, and we can all help somebody else find a way. It ain't all up from up here. The kitchen table, man, is where it's at, man. You know what I mean? More souls been saved, I'm sure, around the kitchen table than ever been saved in the church building. So, being able to go over and take the team over there to deal with a medical issue first and foremost, to use as a means to begin to get the gospel. You know, one of the guys that we know there, his name's Avni. Chance will be bringing him here too. Big guy, man. Speaks good English, man. He teaches. He's an assistant professor at the University in Pristina, but he was a prisoner. The Serbs took him. He was missing for over a year. Tortured, he said, and starved in that prison. He's still got problems from the starvation to this day. But he says, you know, I don't have any hatred for these people, and I don't know why. He said, I think God saved me for a reason. He said, you know what I tell my students? Look at your clothes. Look at the kind of food you eat. Look how you treat your women. Are you more Western or Eastern? Think about it. See, they want Kosovo to go to the West, away from Islam. A lot of people do. They do not want radical Islam in that country. And Avni told me, he said, that we have a saying here, the only good thing that comes out of the East is the sun. He said, I am more comfortable in a church than in a mosque. I'm just sitting there listening to the guy. So there's a chance we're going to be bringing Avni over here, because he's another one. He's just right there. His ears are open. You know, it's just, I don't know of anything else to do. It's, first off, it's a win-win situation, in my opinion. You're over there, you're helping people. It's tangible help. They need that kind of help. And it's good to do that. It's right to do, you know, to help the helpless. If that opens the door for the gospel of glory that people can really overcome in this world, then God be glorified. But you guys are doing great here. I mean, every time, you know, when I either see you or connect with you here, I see good things here in Billings, Montana. You guys are a great example. You pump me up. Obviously, something's growing around here. The building is, for sure. It looks like the seats are filling up. So that's a good thing. So you guys got the right focus and the right. I know you got your challenges. Well, we all do. But if you make the main thing, you're going to get her done. And that's what I see here. And I appreciate the opportunity, you know, the invite to come and let me speak. So God bless you. And thank you.
You know what's really neat, guys? The mission's the same everywhere, isn't it? You know, to be able to see people around us, and something I really, really appreciate. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff tonight, but But Steve sees opportunity with people, doesn't he? And so hopefully it's a challenge for us when we're talking to people and we're dealing with people. And you know, actually I was just yesterday, flipped open, was waiting for a meeting with somebody, and flipped open my Bible, John chapter 4, and just started reading through that. And was praying through it while I was waiting. A couple things hit me, and we'd be here for the rest of the night if I... But one of the first things that hit me is, man, Jesus, wherever He is, He's able, He sees people as eternal souls, and He starts talking to them about stuff that's important. Because He sees the value there. And something I picked up on tonight was just encouraging me. Steve sees opportunity. Opportunity with this person. Opportunity with this person. Brother, he said, we don't have to go over there to find people. They're in the same mess. Do we see the opportunity? Do we see the soul and the value of that soul? And are we willing to talk about what really matters? To see if there's that glimmer of hope. To see, does this person want to live or do they want to die? That's what we're looking for spiritually, isn't it? Does this person want, are they interested in life or do they just want to die? But if they're interested in it, if they want to live, man, we got what they need. We have this message of hope. We have the message of life. We have the truth. We have the light that we get to be messengers of. That's a great opportunity. So I just hope that you're encouraged and you're motivated. See people. See the opportunities. See the value of their soul. And look at everybody that way and say, what are we going to do? How are we going to figure out to ask them to figure out, do you want to live? Or are you just content to die? Because everybody's in that boat. And people that want to live, we can follow up on that. And show them. So I appreciate the message from a bunch of different angles, but that's the one that really hit with me.